Welcome again, everyone. This is Martin Zender from my laundry room studio, making sense for a living in these, well, no, I was going to say humble surroundings, but this is not a humble surroundings. Don't be mistaken. This is one heck of a nice washer and dryer setup here. These appliances are workhorses for us. There's about 5 people using these. Does that include me? 1, 2, yes, 5 people. So these things are amazing. They're all mine right now for another 40 minutes. Then the onslaught starts. So I get this show underway here. And I left you yesterday wondering what happened to Galatians 2. I promised you I was going to take on Galatians chapter 2 because of the Christians who call themselves Christians, but they're not really Christians. They're just members of the religion called Christianity. In that way, they are Christians, but Christians are not believers. Christians are members of religion. That's why I never call myself a Christian. Martin, are you a Christian? No, I'm not. I am a believer, because I recommend this for you. As soon as you say Christian, people stereotype you. Oh, okay, you believe in eternal torment, you hate homosexuals, you hate sinners, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you're pure and holy, or you try to be, and you condemn people who aren't as pure and holy as you. You're a hypocrite. So I cannot tell anyone I'm a Christian. I say I'm a believer. This is a good thing for you to say. I'll tell you why. Because then it begs another question. Well, what do you believe? Aha. Now you have an opportunity to tell your inquirer what you believe. It's a good way to start a conversation. You may think I forgot about Galatians yesterday. That's absolutely true. But as is usual, I'm running after the show, and it hit me while I was running. And that, I still haven't done Galatians. So this is going to be a very short sidetrack. But listen to this. I want to, maybe this show is going to be the sidetrack, but we're going to get back to bowl number 6 and 7. Again, I'm still in the overview of the bowls, giving you my thoughts as they hit to me, stream of consciousness. It's coming out of me, what God puts in me. I'm not holding anything back on you. But then after I have my little rant about the 7 bowls, then we're going to go wholesale into A.E. Knox's comments on this, and I think that some things he says, maybe I'll agree with, maybe I won't, but they will inspire, prick further thoughts that will come out for your benefit and for my benefit. I am benefiting just as much from this series as you are. That is not a joke. I want to go to the beginning of chapter 2 of Galatians here. Thereupon, after the lapse of 14 years, this is Paul speaking, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus also along with me. Titus is a test case from the Greeks, because this guy was not circumcised. His penis was intact. This was a crazy thing in Israel. What? You have an intact penis? I don't know if we can accept you into the fold. It became a badge of pride to these people. Unbelievable. What was supposed to be a humiliating procedure to keep Israel weak and humble, it became a badge of pride. So Paul went up to Jerusalem in accord with a revelation and submitted to them the evangel which he's heralding among the nations. How can anyone say that Paul's evangel, Paul's message, his gospel, is the same as Peter's when he has to, well, there's a appropriate name for a man of the circumcision, Peter. How can he go up to Jerusalem and submit his evangel to them if it's the same one? He's going to Jerusalem to tell them what his message is. Consider this sidetrack another one of those nice little breaks we get from the trauma of the 7 bowls. I'll be right back to the bowls, I promise. This is just fun for me, okay? I got to keep it fun here. Got to keep it a little relaxed because we're in a very intense section of the unveiling. How can it be the same message if Paul is going to Jerusalem specifically to give them the details of what he's teaching? It can't be the circumcision gospel. They had that down pat, Peter and the saints and the other leaders in Jerusalem, James, John, the disciples of Jesus Christ. For this is the evangel which Paul is heralding among the nations. At that time, he was heralding it. He came out of the blocks in Damascus, from Damascus, after his conversion, and began teaching his gospel. He's a evangelist. He's the evangelist of the nations. He was given a distinct message. He did not wait till the end of his life to begin heralding his distinct message. No. Paul had a dual ministry. At the same time, he's doing many things. The guy's talented. He can keep the pins up in the air as a juggler. He can juggle three oranges at the same time. And the guy can even juggle two oranges and an apple. That's the thing. Two oranges and an apple. He goes to the nations on, well, no, he goes to the Jews, let's say. He goes to a synagogue. This was his habit. Tries to convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He goes back to the Old Testament. He's using the Psalms. He's using Isaiah. He's using Micah, all the prophets, putting all the pieces together to show them that this one who was just here was crucified, was raised from the dead. It was all prophesied. It's in the types. You should know this. So some of them go, that makes sense. Some of them get mad at him. And so he leaves the synagogue a little rougher for wear. He goes across the street to somebody's house, and he begins teaching the nations. You know, there are synagogues in every city in Greece. I mean, that was the dispersion was in Greece. They had their synagogues, but there were many, many Greeks living in Greece. Wow, that's a revelation. Yes, many Greeks live in Greece. Many Thessalonians live in Thessalonica. Many Romans live in Rome. This is a breakthrough revelation, but where else are you going to get this kind of truth? So Paul's in these places, and he goes to people's houses, and then he takes out his frustrations at not being able to convert his nation, his home nation, Israel, wholesale. A few come, few hear it, a few get it, a few love it, but most of them this guy's too radical for us. So now he goes to the Greeks, and he dispenses to them his message of justification apart from law. Apart from law, you think Paul is going to march into a synagogue and right away start teaching the Jews we're justified by faith apart from works of law? No, he's not. I did that once at a church, an Israelite church in Detroit. And I was summarily dispatched to the out of doors. I never came back to the place. I had been a regular speaker there. Then I said, I'm kind of tired of getting up early on Sundays, driving to Detroit from Ohio. I'm going to lay on them justification by faith. That was my ticket to ride. Let me tell you, they never wanted to hear me after that. So Paul, he's got all this stuff in him. He got revelations from Jesus Christ. He takes it to Rufus's house. Rufus, the Greek. Or he goes to the house of my two favorite Greeks, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Paul mentions Tryphena and Tryphosa in the end of Romans. Of course, my little fantasy is that they're the two cute little Greek believers, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I can't wait to see them in the snatching away. Right after Jesus, I'm going to seek them out. Before Paul, yeah, I want to see Tryphena and Tryphosa. Do not disappoint me. Do not disappoint me. To heck with 72 virgins. Give me Tryphena and Tryphosa. What? Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's neither male nor female. There's neither male nor female in the body of Christ. All right, I want to meet him anyway. So let's get back to business here. So he submits the evangel. Listen to this. Now I went up according to with a revelation, submitted to them the evangel which I am heralding among the nations, yet privately to those of repute, lest somehow I should be racing or ran for naught. Paul needed the support of the Jerusalem hierarchy, the big shots, not the Sanhedrin, not the Pharisees talking about the disciples. Now, the underground. But not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, is compelled to be circumcised. This was fantastic news. It meant that the circumcision brethren gave in. They conceded a point with Paul. only because of Peter seeing that vision of the sheet coming down, declaring nothing unclean. I have a feeling that Peter was instrumental at this little gathering in Jerusalem to keep Paul from being pummeled by the others. Yet because of the false brethren, I'm in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 2, for those of you reading along. Yet because of the false brethren who were smuggled in, who came in, by the way, to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they shall be enslaving us, to whom not even... This is such a long sentence, I cannot believe it. This just doesn't end. So I'm getting tired of it already. But there were false brethren among the believing in Jesus, circumcision, ecclesia, who came in there to spy out their freedom. They didn't like the fact that Titus didn't have to be circumcised. They didn't like the fact that Paul's evangel entailed freedom, that there was no need to be baptized, no need to be circumcised, and on you go. Justification, justified by grace apart from the law, this is what ticked them off. But Paul says, we do not subject ourselves to these objectors for even an hour. We do not subject ourselves that the truth of the evangel should be continuing with you. Now, this is what I was driving at yesterday and never got to. Now, Paul is so adamantly careful and defensive of his gospel. And now verse 6. Now, from those reputed to be somewhat, that is, from those who had great reputation, Peter, James, John, what kind they whereof is no consequence to me. God is not taking up the human aspect. To me, those of repute submitted nothing. Those of repute, including Peter, submitted nothing. In other words, they could not add to Paul's gospel. They could not say, let us improve on this amazing message of grace you're giving to the nations in the afternoons after you're kicked out of the synagogue. They submitted nothing to Paul. I love that truth. But on the contrary, perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the circumcision, according as Peter... Let me start again. On the contrary, in other words, not only did they not submit anything to me, I submitted things to them. Perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, Paul speaking, according as Peter of the circumcision. There's one evangel, it's the evangel of the uncircumcision. It belongs to that. The evangel of the circumcision is a completely different evangel. When I was a kid, like 20 years ago, I used to think that Peter passed the baton to Paul. The world was too big to take this Jesus message, Jesus on earth message, circumcision message, too big for one guy. So luckily, this Saul Paul guy was converted. He was a native of Tartus. He had connections among the dispersion. And so Peter took his gospel, Peter's gospel, gave it to this new guy, and Paul took the same gospel, the circumcision gospel, to the other nations. That's what I thought when I was a kid. That is not true. This Galatians chapter 2 proves that it's not true. Paul went to Jerusalem to tell them what he was teaching. Couldn't be circumcision gospel. And then he said, this is the gospel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter has the gospel of. It's not two. I think some versions have two. The King James has of, but I think the NASB, blast them, have two. The gospel to the circumcision and the gospel to the uncircumcision. That could theoretically be the same gospel. I play the music to the Japanese, and I play the music to the Americans. I might be playing the same music to the Americans, to the Japanese. But if I play music of the Japanese and of the Americans, that's completely different music. The music of the Japanese goes, that's the music of the Japanese. Big distinction here. So, the same Christ who operates in Peter for the apostleship of the circumcision operates in me, Paul speaking, also for the nations. And it's the same source. That's the common denominator is Jesus Christ. But one of the Jesus Christ was the lowered, humbled Jewish disguise. The Jesus in his Jew suit on the earth. Jesus wearing his Jew suit. When Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, he wasn't wearing his Jew suit anymore. He was clothed in glory and great power from on high. And he glowed with a light, radiated with a light brighter than the sun. This ain't no carpenter's kid. So they gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we indeed should be for the nations, yet they for the circumcision. This has been an installment of the Revelation series, reminding you that the bowls are not ultimately for us. We have a distinct message. We're looking into the bowls because we're interested in what God is interested in. And also, we love the truth. We love all the truth. We're intelligent enough to keep distinct those things which God has made distinct. We're not going to put asunder what God has joined, but neither are we going to join what God has put asunder.